And I have in the studio with me Dr. Berkeley Hudson, who is a professor, journalism professor, chair of the Faculty Council's Diversity Enhancement Committee. And he is sponsoring a visit to this community by Jim Turner. And so I asked Dr. Hudson if he would come on just a bit earlier so that we could talk about Jim Turner. And then we'll get to talk with Jim Turner here in just a few moments. Thank you for being here. How are you today, sir?
Great. Thank you for having me.
So this is going to be three presentations, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Tell listeners, introduce them to what the presentations are about.
Jim Turner, who graduated from the University of Missouri School of Journalism in 1952 in radio journalism, is coming back. He's only been back, I think, once, and that was last spring when I first met him. But he's going to do some presentations on his new book, which is Selma and the Liozzo murders. It's the story of how, as a federal prosecutor, Jim Turner went down to Alabama and he actually prosecuted the Ku Klux Klan for killing a civil rights activist, Viola Liozzo, who was from Michigan. And it was a very difficult case. And in fact, the state of Alabama already had tried to convict the KKK for killing Ms. Liozzo, with not any success, and then the federal government came in and is considered the first conviction of the modern era in terms of civil rights prosecutions in 1965.
So he was involved in that. I mean, he graduated from J school here, but he then got a law degree, as I understand it, from Colorado. So he worked as a lawyer most of his career. Is that correct?
Right, and most of it was for the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., he left Mizzou, and then he went to be a Marine in Japan and in Korea, and then he got his law degree, and then he went to work in the Eisenhower administration.
He served during many administrations, as I understand it.
Right, from Eisenhower through Bill Clinton, actually. And he was the acting assistant attorney general for civil rights, I think, under Reagan and under maybe Carter or Clinton. I can't remember which.
You have read this book. I have not read this book. What's it like? What are some of the things that he shares in there that caught your attention?
Well, what he does that's kind of hard for us to understand in some ways today is he creates the picture of the culture in Alabama at that time where it was incredible tension. Remember the Selma to Montgomery march that Martin Luther King and other civil rights workers led in 1965. And there's that famous Bloody Sunday day across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma where the Alabama state troopers beat the civil rights workers back and wouldn't let them continue the march to Montgomery, which is about 54 miles from Selma to Montgomery. And then Lyndon Johnson ordered that the National Guard protect the marchers later on, a few weeks later. And so the march was restarted and then went from Selma to Montgomery. So the book portrays that time period. And at the conclusion of the march, when they got to Montgomery, Martin Luther King made a famous speech. And then that evening, Viola Liozzo, who had come down from Detroit, Michigan, was ferrying some other civil rights workers around. She was white, and she was carrying African-American protesters with her, and at one point it was just her and an African-American civil rights activist in the car, and they were riding back towards Selma, and a Ku Klux Klan car came up beside of them and then shot and killed her. She was driving, but the passenger wasn't injured.
The thing that gets me from that story also, which I've read a summary of this, is that there was an FBI informant riding in that car where the shooting emanated from.
Right, and there's a real legal complexity, cultural complexity, just to that whole fact that he was embedded in the Ku Klux Klan, and then he ended up testifying. And as I recall, his picture was like, one of the Ku Klux Klan, the lawyer for the Ku Klux Klan, his picture was on the cover of Life magazine, displaying with his hands an ugly sign towards the camera.
Mm. We need to break for sports, and then we're going to call up Jim Turner. He'll join us in just a moment. We've asked Berkeley Hudson to be our guest a little bit ahead of time as we set up what we'll talk about after the sportscast. Well, we want to get back on the air. We want to talk about the upcoming visit to the area by Jim Turner. He's going to talk about a book called Selma and the Liuzzo. Is that how you say that, Dr. Hudson? Liuzzo?
Yes, Liuzzo.
He has written this book, and it talks about his experiences. And as Dr. Hudson told us before we went into sports, this is the story of the first modern civil rights convictions. We hope to get Dr. Jim Turner on with us. He is someone who has connections with this. You know, I was reading in the description, he also, as a senior career lawyer in the Justice Department Civil Rights Division for a quarter of a century, said during that time he also worked with Mike Middleton on some things. How about that?
Right. So Mike was a young lawyer fresh out of Mizzou and got a job in the Justice Department and went to work there. And it turns out that Jim Turner was the supervisor of Mike Middleton's supervisor.
How about that?
And so that's when they first met. And then actually last spring when Jim came back to look at this exhibit that I'd arranged of historic photographs from Mississippi, Mike and Jim got together again and went to the exhibit together.
When Jim Turner comes, he's going to talk about this story. He's going to do it at three different presentations. Public invited to all or
right,
some of these?
Free, it's free and open to the public on Tuesday at 1 p.m. in the law school at the University of Missouri in Halston Hall. It's room 5, and that's downstairs. He'll talk that at that location. And then the next day on Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. at the Missouri School of Journalism in the Reynolds Journalism Institute in the Smith Forum, room 200. He'll speak at 6:30. And then on Thursday in Jefferson City, he'll be with Mike Middleton, who's the interim president now at Lincoln University. And so at 1 p.m. on Thursday, this coming Thursday, he'll be in Page Library speaking there. And he'll tailor the three talks in many respects to the location where he's going to be. In other words, the law school, he'll talk more about some things that will be legally pertinent. And then on Wednesday in the journalism school, some more about the media elements involved in the trials in Alabama, and then more some social justice elements at Lincoln. One of his best friends was named Roy Reed from the journalism school at Mizzou. They were roommates, and Roy Reed covered the Selma to Montgomery March for the New York Times. He was one of the most famous. Roy Reed, graduate of Mizzou, was one of the most famous civil rights reporters in the country at that time in the 60s.
So they were roommates?
Yeah.
And then they ended up, one covering it in the journalism, and one was a lawyer who came down later in civil rights cases.
Right, that's a decade after they left Mizzou, they essentially reunited in Selma and Montgomery.
Your interest from the J School, I was reading information, it says your research interest on American media history, visual studies, interviewing media representatives of racial, media representation of racial conflict and narrative journalism. So it's obvious you feel like this is an important message to get out. What else resonates today as you look back 50 plus years on what Jim Turner was doing?
Well, I think the Ku Klux Klan today is very different from what it was 53 years ago. Yet at the same time, we're still dealing with these really just intractable problems that have to do with race and with you know, neo-Nazis have experienced a resurgence, and I think we have to look no further than Charlottesville, Virginia of last August to see the difficulties and complexities and the violence that occurs.
Think media is doing a good job on that now? Is it? How does it compare with how media did this in the civil rights era during the 60s?
Well, it's obviously very different with the internet and with social media, and some of the discussions that came up, not quite the same thing, but with what happened in Parkland and Florida, was the story gets out so quickly, and journalists have a very difficult time in just even telling who and what. But what happens is we keep wanting to know why, why. But that the answer can't always come right away. So that's one of the difficulties and problems. But
why leads to speculation too oftentimes?
Right, and incorrect speculation. Even like in the Parkland shooting case, you know, there was this idea that this killer had been somehow affiliated with white supremacist groups, and that went out and was incorrectly reported when in fact he hadn't. But it creates the whole issue has to do with fear and misunderstanding and a climate of fear. So that's the same as it was in 1965. And in fact, next week on the day that he'll be speaking at the journalism school is the anniversary of what's known as Bloody Sunday.
I saw that March 7th.
Right. Yeah. And that was the day that the marchers tried to go from Selma to Montgomery. They only got as far as crossing the Pettus Bridge. And then they were physically beaten back, and one of those marchers was John Lewis, who is now a congressman from Georgia. But what happened there is what I see happen in Charlottesville, which is just our human inability to somehow negotiate the conflicts in our hearts with how we connect with one another and how we perceive race and how we understand what is race, ethnicity, culture, and how we have a very difficult time listening to one another.
I think I'm going to have to take what you just said, write it out so that everybody can see that. I mean, we need to have that in front of us every day because you're exactly right. I think you summarized perfectly what the situation is right now. And you're talking about the conflict that we have inside, not listening, not making a connection.
And I don't care what your political party is, your religion is, your background is. We've got to learn to listen more deeply to one another. But, and understand our human connection.
I'm sorry to give the but there, but there is an element that never seems it's going to be capable of listening. And my worry is that we in the media and the different parts of media seem to thrive on exacerbating the differences sometimes because it's either good for ratings or it seems to spur conversation. I don't know whether we are positive in our influence sometimes.
Well, I would make the argument that deep listening is good for ratings, too, which is what we're trying to do right now.
I try to do that, I think, some days, but it's hard. It is hard to do. Well, we didn't have a chance to talk to Jim Turner, and I'm sorry we didn't do that, but it's very good to have you on the air with us, and I hope that people will take note of his coming. It is going to be a conversation about the first modern civil rights convictions seen by someone who was there as a prosecutor of the KKK killers of a woman named Viola Liuzzo in Selma back in March of 1965. Those who heard what you said about John Lewis being involved in the march across the bridge, remember 3 years ago, I think on the 50th anniversary of that, famous coverage of that with Barack Obama leading marchers across that bridge.
I think George W. Bush was there as well, as I recall.
Yeah. Dr. Hudson, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you as a guest. Maybe we can talk again sometime in longer form about some of these things that are very important, and I think we could use that message every day about deeper listening.
Oh, thank you. So that's next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
All right. Again, it is Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the School of Law, Wednesday at 6:30, Reynolds Journalism Institute, Thursday in Jefferson City at Lincoln University. Call me if you need more information, and I will get you directed to the right spot. Dr. Berkley Hudson is involved in bringing Jim Turner here, a graduate of MU's J School and a former worker at KFRU, you tell me.
Right. He used to do the news. I think it was at 2:55 in the afternoon.
Any of our longtime listeners might remember 2:55 KFRU News with Jim Turner.
Right.
That would be nice. Dr. Hudson, thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to Mafia, a new podcast telling stories of America's criminal underworld.
Gotti assumed the position of head of the Gambino family.
And using the name Donnie Brasco, I was able to infiltrate the Bonanno crime family in New York City.
Bugsy Siegel is an American mob legend.
One man changed the whole texture and landscape of crime in America.
Listen to Mafia every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.